no class next week because, you know, we're on. Okay. Thank you very much, Hannah and Mark. Okay. So this year is dedicated to the memory of Izzy Kaplan, Olav Shalom, a great lover of Eretz Yisrael and a great worker for Eretz Yisrael, lived in Toronto, and his wife Susie is here. I knew him many, many years from the time he was a little bicycle, and he's missed, sorely missed. Okay. The shiur is, I shouldn't say, Elaine, I shouldn't say anything about the beautiful party you had last week at Yad Zara. 20 years of coming on Aliyah, I shouldn't mention a thing about it. And what about the fact that somebody told me that my name was mentioned a number of times, though I wasn't there? I'm not going to say anything about all of that. Okay. Number one is a Mishnah, the last Mishnah in the first chapter of Masechet Brachot. This entire Mishnah, except for the first four words, appear in the Haggadah. After we pass the first four words, you'll know already exactly what we're talking about. The Mishnah begins by saying, Mazkirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. We mention the Exodus from Egypt at night. And how do we do that? By reciting the third chapter of Kriyat Shema, the Parsha of Tzitzit. The third chapter of Kriyat Shema mentions, I am God, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Mazkirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. We mention the Exodus from Egypt every night. This Mishnah is not talking about the special mitzvah of retelling and relating and reliving the Exodus from Egypt. That's a different mitzvah. There are two separate and distinct mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, relating the story. That's what we do at the Seder night, once a year. But then there's another halacha of Mazkirin Yitziat Mitzrayim, mentioning the Exodus of Egypt, which has to be done daily. And there are many differences between the mitzvah of Zechira, mentioning it, and the mitzvah of Sipur, relating it. Obviously, Sipur means expanding upon it, talking about it, describing it. Maskidin means mentioning it. Sipur also means much more than just mentioning it, not only elaborating on it, but also there's the mitzvah to praise God and thank Him for it. When we mention it in the third parasha of Shema, we simply mention it. God took us out of Egypt. These four words, Mazkirin, Yitziat, Mitzrayim, Balelot, do not appear in the Haggadah. The Haggadah begins immediately after that. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah. It's right there after the story of the rabbis who were at a Seder with Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak, and they were relating the story of Egypt all night until their students came in the morning and told them, Rabotenu, Higiazman, Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, our rabbis, the time of Kriyat Shema in the morning has arrived. The very next paragraph in the Haggadah is, Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei Ani Kven Shivim Shana, I'm like a 70-year-old man. The Gemara explains he was really 18 years old when he was appointed the head of the Sanhedrin. But since, you know, an 18-year-old should be the head of the Sanhedrin, so he looked, I wouldn't say old, more distinguished. God made him look more distinguished. You know, somebody who deserves to be at the head of the Sanhedrin. Hareani kiven shiv mishona, I am like a 70-year-old man, v'lo zachiti shetei ome yitzihat mitzchayim balelot. The translation is important. Yet I did not prevail over my colleagues and convince them that one must mention the exodus from Egypt at night. There was a difference of opinion between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the rabbis. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, you have to mention the exodus from Egypt, not only in the morning, but also at night. And they said, no, once a day is enough. And he says, I did not prevail over them. Lo zachiti, to prove it to them, Archedrosha ben Zoma, until ben Zoma expound the law as follows. Shenema says, passing the Torah, Lamam Tizkor, in order that you should remember at Yom Tzeitcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, you see the word Tizkor mentioned. This is not V'higadeto Levincha, tell your son the story, mentioning it. Lamam Tizkor, in order that you should mention the day that you came out of Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yimei Chayachot, this is the passage, all the days of your life, that you may remember the day when you came out of Egypt, all the days of your life. So Ben Zoma said, Yimei Chayachot, Hayomim, Yimei Chayachot, the days of your life means day, daytime. Ah, but it says, Kol Yimei Chayachot, the totality of the day. The totality of the day includes the night as well. Yimei Chayecho Hayomim. Ah, Kol Yimei Chayecho Halelos. All the days of your life, we derive the additional requirement to mention it during the night. V'chachomim Omrim, but the rabbis said the following. Yimei Chayecho, the days of your life, that's Olam Hazeh. That means this world, meaning, as they correctly say, before the coming of Mashiach. Kol Yimei Chayecha means even in the days of Mashiach. Kol Lahavi Limata Mashiach. The superfluous all comes to include a requirement to mention it even in the Messianic era. Okay. Now I'm going to learn the first piece of Gemara on this Mishnah. And on the basis of this Gemara, I'm going to make a revolutionary suggestion. I personally don't think it's revolutionary. I think that you're certainly, all of you, you're all going to agree with me. But for some strange reason, I don't know why it isn't done. But we're going to start right here. We're going to start right here. And I hope you may have noticed, I was not aware of it, but I'm aware of it now, that this shiur appears on Arot Sheva every last 2 weeks. Beautiful introduction they wrote before my name and about this shiur. So I hope that Arot Sheva is going to make this year as well available to all of Israel and all those Jews overseas who watch Arut Sheva. Watch. Gemara. The Gemara cites a braisa which continues the dialogue between Ben Zoma and the sages. There's a continuation of this discussion between the two. Tanya. We learned it a braisa. A braisa means it was said by the Tanoim. It was taught in a braisa. Amalhem ben Zoma lachachamim ben Zoma said to the wise man, V'chimazkirin yitziat mitzrayim li'yimot ha-mashiach? The chachamim are the ones who said that kol yimei chayecha means not only before the coming of Messiah, but even in the period of Mashiach, we're going to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim. So Ben Zoma turns to them and says, what are you talking about? We're going to mention the exodus from Egypt in the days of Mashiach? It's not so. We're not going to mention it anymore. V'halo kvar nema. But it already says, he's going to quote two psukim in Yirmiyahu. But what I see many people are unaware of is that these two psukim, precisely as they are, appear twice in Yirmiyahu. In chapter 16 of Yirmiyahu, and it is repeated again in chapter 22. And listen to the pasuk. Hine yamin bo'im lo'om Hashem. Ah, behold, days are coming, says Hashem. V'lo yomru ol, they will no longer say, Chai Hashem, asher helet b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. When people will no longer swear or exclaim, by God's life, thank God, they will not exclaim, ah, how wonderful God asher helet b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim, who brought the children of Israel up from the land of Egypt. You know what they're going to say then? No, the pasuk is saying, no, we're not going to thank God for taking us out of Egypt. You know what you're going to say then? Kiyim, listen carefully. This is Yirmiyahu. Kiyim, we're going to say, Chai Hashem. Long live God Asher Hela, who brought up, V'Asher Hevi, and who brought back at Zerah Beit Yisrael, the seed of the house of Israel, Me'eretz Safona, from the land of the north, U'mikol Ha'arotzot, and from all of the lands, Asher Hidachtim Sham, where I had dispersed them. You know what Yirmiyahu was saying? There will come a day when we're no longer going to thank God for having taken us out of Egypt, but we're going to thank him for having brought us from all four corners of the world back here to Eretz Yisrael. So Ben Zoma is asking the rabbis, Yirmiyahu says, we're no longer going to say, thank God who brought us out of Egypt. We're going to say, thank God who brought us all back to Eretz Yisrael. So what are you telling me in the Mishnah? You tell me that Laman Tisker Yom Tzeitcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. Kol means even in Yimot HaMashiach. But Yirmiyahu says not like that. Amru lo. So the sages replied to Ben Zoma, Lo Sheteyoke Yitziat Mitzrayim Mimekoma. It does not mean that the exodus of Egypt will be uprooted completely from our prayers and from our thanksgiving. Ah, Ella, Sheteheshibud Malchiot Ikar, but rather, mentioning the redemption from the dominion of foreign kingdoms will be primary. In other words, that means one doesn't have to be a great Zionist to understand that the Gemara is saying that Yirmiyahu, the rabbis are saying that Yirmiyahu is saying that we're going to be thanking God about the fact that we have independence and we are no longer under the dominion of the nations of the world. That's what we're going to thank him. V'yitziat Mitzrayim tofelo. The exodus from Egypt will be secondary. In other words, in the days of Mashiach, we're going to thank God for two things, not one. We're going to thank him primarily for having removed the yoke of the nations of the world from upon us. And second to that will be the exodus from Egypt. All right? And the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is talking about the ingathering of the exiles. We're going to thank God who brought us from the lands of the north and from all other places upon the face of the earth where we were and brought us back here. So my revolutionary new institution is that I believe that on the night of the Seder, it should be a requirement, a responsibility to mention, read these two psukim from Yirmiyahu. How do you like that? Now, I mentioned it to some religious people, and they looked at me askance, like who knows what kind of a terrible reformer this is, and if not a reformer, at least a conservative. You understand? It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the Gemara. Ben Zoma, now watch this. Ben Zoma in the Mishnah is the one who proves that you have to mention Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, not only by day, but by night also. It's this same Ben Zoma who says, wait a minute, who says we're going to mention the Exodus from Egypt altogether? Like, you know what kind of question that is? Somebody should get very upset at this Ben Zoma's question. He's saying what? That a mitzvah that appears in the Torah is no longer going to be required? But there's no such thing. Torah is eternal. And Ben Zoma is not afraid to ask the question. Ben Zoma says this, what can I do? I read Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu says it clearly. And if I'm not sure that he really means it, he repeats it again a few chapters later. And the rabbis, by the way, don't reject him. They say you're right. But it doesn't mean, Yirmiyahu didn't mean that we will forget completely about the Exodus from Egypt. Yeah, but it will be secondary to the greater miracle of the ingathering of the exiles. We're it, for heaven's sake. We're the exiles who've been ingathered. We're the ones that Yirmiyahu was talking about. It's happened in our day before our very eyes. Unprecedented and unparalleled, unmatched and unequaled in all of Jewish history and in the history of any other nation on the face of this earth. The Frenchmen are not going to return to Paris from America and from Japan and from England. Nobody's coming back. Nobody's going back anyplace. Only one people on the face of the earth. And in a matter of 70 years, from 806,000 in 1948 to 6.6 million Jews here today from all corners of the world. Fulfillment of the prophecy. Shouldn't we say at the night of the Seder, Rabbeinu Shlomo, thank you? Hashed Hela, Hashed Hevi, May Eret Sofona, Umikol Harotzel, from all of the lands in which you were dispersed, I brought you back. I got a call Sunday night from a friend of mine, a very distinguished rabbi, and a longtime friend, who for family reasons spent about a week or two in the United States, and he came back, so he called to say, I'm back. Then he tells me, I want to tell you something that happened while I was there. He was in a very religious Torah community and a great Talmud Chacham, And he said, I'll never tell you who it was. It's somebody you know. I'm never going to tell you. The fellow came over to him and said to him, this rabbi lives here. You know, the guest was visiting there. And this great Talmud Chacham turned to him and said to him, you should be here, not there. To make it clear, you should be here in the good old USA, the United States, but not there in Eretz Israel. So I told my friend, if somebody would have told that to me, there would, of course, been an explosion. I would have. But there are some people who are calmer than me. And he says that he responded to him by telling him, you know, you have it all wrong. It's just the opposite. You should be where I am. End of story. The story gave me no rest. I was a basket case Sunday night, and by Monday morning it was getting worse. So first of all, part of it is the sheer is a result of the story, and I'm writing an article about it because it's not isolated. People make such remarks not as crudely as this great Talmud Chacham made it, but certainly they see, I'm afraid to say it, there are religious communities in which Eretz Israel is not of value. It was never true in Jewish history, but it is true in our days. There are communities where Eretz Israel is simply not of value. I mean, do you know that since 2015, 24 families have moved in to Rochester? Join us in Rochester. We have everything over there. We have a kosher pizza place. You're from Rochester. But thank God you're here and not there. I see these ads on Yeshiva World News and in other places, and you have a picture of somebody who's so happy. I'm in Rochester. Well, when I was in Toronto, you understand, Rochester was just a, what was Rochester? Johnson, what's the no, the stop off. What? What are those restaurants on the highway? Howard Johnson's. Howard Johnson's. You know what? I'm so proud of myself that I nearly forgot it. You understand? Howard Johnson's on the road. That's what Rochester was. And now you find out that Rochester's. And then, wait a minute, there are communities in Michigan, in Illinois, Fregnisht, Vey, as Tutzach of Tishina Bank. And of course, we have a new old Jewish city in the United States, Palm Tree, New York. Palm Tree, New York. That's, you know, Elaine, you don't know? That's Monroe. Now it's named after the Satmar Rebbe, whose name was Teitelbaum. A Teitelbaum is a palm tree. Can you understand? And saying, covered with snow all winter, it's Palm Tree, New York. Right. Here, the Gemara is saying very clearly, and the Gemara is saying it on the basis of the fact that Yirmiyahu said it, that we have to thank God for having gathered us in from all corners of the world, the great miracle of our time. It's awesome. They don't get it, for heaven's sake. They just don't. don't get it. Now, when I put together the sources, you know, sometimes I'm very uptight, upset. I'm popping volumes. So I don't put things in the order in which I want to. So we're not going to do number two now, but we're going to do it. Right now, I want to take you to number three. What bothers me about, one of the things that bothers me about the fact that people seem to be unaware or have simply put it in the back of their mind, they can't, it's part of cognitive dissonance. If there's a great movement of Jews returning home, it has to be divine. Now, if it's divine, then I should be there too, right? The guy there, I should be there too. But I don't want to go. I like the lifestyle over here. I like it. So much easier. You kidding me? You can get everything you want under the OU. You can. I don't know what. I don't remember anymore what kind of great things they have over there in America. But there must be great stuff. What? What did she say? Is that so, Roseanne? You ever tried to find a parking space in Borough Park? I want to tell you a story. You can laugh at me. I don't mind. I came into New York for a week, and I rented a car at the airport. And I came to Borough Park, and I found a parking space. I left the car there all week. I was afraid if I take the car out, I'd come back, I wouldn't find a parking space. So if you rent a car, you have to have a parking space for it. You have parking spaces. Come to Rehov Agassi, I have parking spaces. I never have a problem. Right. Okay. So you have to understand, number one, this is such a fundamental part of Jewish belief. It's just... Here it is. Number three is a parasha of Torah. There was a period of time last year I read it every day in order to remember it by heart. And I didn't succeed. If I would have done it 50 years ago, I would have succeeded. But I can still do it. I'm going to fight through it again. But here I'm just going to take, these are 10 psukim. These 10 psukim are called the Parashat HaTshuva, the Parashat of Repentance. I'm going to read quickly. V'hayaku yavoa lecha kol advarim ela, and it will come to pass when all of these things happen. It's Nitzavim, toward the end of Torah. Habrach of Akola, history is going to pass. The blessing of the curse. This is Moshe Rabbeinu saying it 3,500 years ago. It's unbelievable. You will begin to think seriously when you find yourself amongst all of those nations where God had cast you out over there. And then a process of tshuva is going to begin. You will return to God, your God. You're going to listen to him. Everything that I command you today, Ata, you, your children, with your whole heart, with your whole soul. Here come the great three psukim that are the story of the last 70 years. The Shav Hashem Elokecha, God will return your captivity. V'nichamecha, he will have mercy upon you. The Shav, and he's going to go back to America and to Canada and to England and to France. All the fellas who just couldn't pick themselves up. And it's going to be an act of great mercy and kindness on his part. And I'm not sure everybody's going to come with him. V'richamecha, he will have mercy upon you. He's going to go back. V'kibetzcha, he will gather you in mikol ha'amim from all of the nations. Asher hevitzcha Hashem lekecha shomu, where God had dispersed you. If you will be cast out at the very ends of the heaven, From there, God is going to gather you in. Umisham yikachecha, and from there, he will take you. From every, well, I was going to say God-forsaken place. No, it's not God-forsaken, because God is going to go there, and he's going to schlep you out of New York, and out of Chicago, and out of Los Angeles, and out of Muncie, and out of Lakewood. He's going to schlep you back. You're going to be screaming, but he's going to schlep you. And God is going to bring you to the land that your fathers, that's us, we're the ones that inherited it. You know, we're here. Oh, it's such a great feeling. You will inherit the land, and God will do good for you, and he will make you more numerous than your fathers. Awesome! These psukim are unbelievable. They are the description of the last 70 years. But they were written 3,500 years ago. Above and beside everything else, I don't understand why there are all of these programs to teach you about God. And the Torah is true. What do you mean Torah is true? Just take a look around. You see it. The fulfillment of all of the prophecies. What are you going creaking over there? Philosophical, ontological, theological, intellectual proofs of the existence of God. It's here, and we're it. The idea of ingathering of the exiles is divine. It's Torah. It didn't start with Yirmiyahu. And it didn't even start with Herzl, you understand? It started with God himself. And we happen to be the generation that was Zecher. We are the beneficiaries of those prophecies of 3,500 years ago. These three psukim in Torah become the refrain that is repeated over and over again by our prophets, our Nevi'im, in such powerful, powerful terms. How can somebody say you belong here in America, not there? It's kfira, it's a rejection of Torah. I don't understand. I know why my friend didn't tell me who it was that said it to him. I must probably be on a plane to America right now to sack him and turn around and come back. Now, number four. There's not enough time. This is the Haftorah for Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. It's not going to be read this year. There's no Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. And you know what the Haftorah for Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach is? The dry bones. God says, I'm going to open your graves and I'm going to take you out of there. I'm going to bring you back to life, and I'm going to take you to Eretz Yisrael. They don't have to be dead. They can be alive. But they're walking around alive out there saying, this is where you should be. You should be here, not there. In other words, you should be in America, which unfortunately is the graveyard of millions upon millions of Jews, a graveyard. And I don't need Ron Lauder to come over here to Yerushalayim and tell us that we need a two-state solution. Stay in America with a two-state solution. Chutzpah, these big fat cats coming from all over the world, not citizens here, don't vote here. The overwhelming majority of Jews in this country, according to the latest polls, are opposed to this two-state solution. So louder, louder behind, Ligangelicht. Because a guy is president of an American organization that he most probably was not even elected to. This is, you think it's easy saying Yeshir over here? Let me, you see where it's on the land, on the bottom? Lachain Hinovei, God tells Yechezkel. He has taken him to a valley that is full of bones. And miraculously, the bones start coming together. They form skeletons. The skeletons get skin and bones and everything until finally God breathes into their life and they stand up. Now, they don't have to be bones. They can be a Jewish people coming out of the Holocaust. It may be a Jewish people who for all sense and purposes, as far as the world was concerned, they were dead for 2,000 years. Oh, no, I'm taking you out of the Golos. There was a burial ground from a Poland that's one big cemetery. And I'm going to bring you, Lachain Hinovei, where it's on the line, V'amart Aleim, and tell these bones, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, so says God, Hine Ani Poteach Et Kivroteichem, behold, I will open your graves, V'haleiti Etchem Mi Kivroteichem, and I'm going to take you up out of your graves, Ami, my people, V'heveiti Etchem El Armat Yisrael, and I will bring you to the land of Israel. V'yedatem, and you will know, Ki Ani Hashem, I am God, B'pitchi Et Kivroteichem, when I open your graves, U'b'haloti Etchem Mikivroteichem Ami, my people, I'm going to bring you up out of those graves. V'notati Ruchi Bachem, I'm going to give my spirit in you. V'chiyitem, and you will live. V'hinachti Etchem Al Admatchem, and I'm going to leave you. Nobody is ever going to remove us from this land ever again. There will never be a third Churban. V'yadatem, you will know, Ki Ani Hashem, Dibarti, I spoke, V'asiti, and I did it. Kibbutz Goliot, the ingathering of the exiles, I said it means proof that Torah is true. You know what else it is? Proof that God listens to our prayers. I'm going to have to ask somebody one of these days. When I was a little boy, on Yontif, the song that we sang for hours was, V'kore pizureinu min ha-goyim u'lifutzoseinu kavanes mi'agusei yovoret. That was one of the big songs today. Then, I don't know if it is now. Now it can be who knows what else. I don't know. Even though there's a great Mordechai ben David on the pasuk in Torah, V'shav Hashem Elokecha et Shvutcha. Oh, what a beautiful, that's a... V'shav V'kibetz Elokecha. I got to listen to it again and get it. It's great. So number one, Kibbutz Golios is proof the Torah is true. Number two, it means that God listens to our prayers. We prayed for it, He heard it, and He's doing it. Prayer is answered by God. Sometimes the answer is no, but sometimes the answer is yes. Number five is such an awesome pasuk. It's near the very end of Torah. God has told Moshe Rabbeinu to go up on top of the mountain, and He's going to show him Eretz Yisrael. What a description! He shows him the Negev, the Galil, the sea, the mountains. Ah. Shows it to them all. Then Vayomer Hashem Elav, and God said to him, to Moshe, Zot Haaretz, everything that you've seen, this is the land Asher Nishbati L'Avram, L'Yitzchak, L'Yaakov, that I swore to Avram, to Yitzchak, Yaakov, Lamar, That word lemer is very important. You'll see in a moment. This is the land that I swore to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, saying, Lizaracha etnena, to your children I will give her. Heriticha be'einecha, I've showed it to you with your own eyes. But unfortunately, v'shama, lo tavor, you're not going to cross in there. You're not going into the land. V'yomach shem Moshe, Eved Hashem, Beretz Moav, Al Pi Hashem. And Moshe, the servant of God, died there by the words of God. The Rashi. What a beautiful, powerful Rashi. Lemor, lezaracha etnena, had iticha. To say, I will give it to your offspring, I have let you see. You know why? You know what's popular in Rashi? The word lemor. It says in that pasuk. It says in that pasuk, I've shown you the land that I swore to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, lemor, saying. Now, saying usually means to tell somebody else, but that's not what follows. The lemor over here is that I told them that I will give the land to your children. Rashi says, no, this lemor is very, very important. Kadesha Telek Vitomar. You know what I want of you, Moshe? You're going there, you're going to pass on to the world of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I want you to go and tell Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Shvuah Shenishba Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the oath that God promised to you, Avram, and to you, Yitzhak, and to you, Yaakov, I've kept my promise. You understand? God also wants to be understood. He also wants, you should know, not only do I promise, but I keep my promise. Anybody who doesn't see that the last 70 years has a fulfillment of God's promise is rejecting him. Not even giving him that which he wants so badly. He, capital H. God is sending Moshe with his final task. With his death, he now has the job that has to be done. Go there, tell Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, I promised you, I swore to you, I'm doing it. We should be saying, you promised us over 3,000 years, Kibbutz Goliath, Torah, Yeshayahu, Yecheskel, Yirmiyahu, Amos, Micha, all the promises. I'm fulfilling it. And with the fulfillment, how can somebody reject that? How can somebody say, no, you should be here, not there? Shomu Shamayim. I started writing an article about this, and at this point, the title of the article is, I Heard God Crying. There's a Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Brachos about Rabbi Yossi who went into one of the rooms of Yerushalayim to pray. And Eliyahu himtinli, Eliyahu, another, waited for him outside. When Rabbi Yossi came out, Eliyahu asked him, what were you doing in there? So he said, I was davening. So Eliyahu said, why did you daven in there? Why did you go into a ruin? You could have davened out here. You're afraid that you may be interrupted by somebody. So there's a shortened version, a short tefillah ketzora that you could have said. All right, that's the halachic part. Then Eliyahu asks Rabbi Yossi, did you hear any voice in that ruin? And Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, you know I did. I heard a voice coming from heaven, moaning like a dove. Woe to me that I destroyed my house. Woe unto me that I sent my children out into exile. So Eliyahu turns to him and says, Rabbi Yossi, that voice that you heard there, every time Jews go into shul and they answer Amen, Yehei, Shmei, Rabba, Mevarach, God cries and says, woe unto me that I burned my great house and that I exiled my children from the land. Doesn't God cry even more when somebody turns what's supposed to be into a punishment? Exile is supposed to be a punishment, but not to this guy in America. What are you talking about? Should be here, not there. Exile from Eretz Yisrael is a punishment. We're living it up over here. God doesn't cry for that. Don't even appreciate what I'm doing for you. I'm keeping the promise. I promised. I took an oath, Chai Hashem, I'm going to do it, and I'm doing it. Let me finish that Rashi. Shvuashi nishbala chem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the oath which the Holy One swore to you. Kima, he has fulfilled it. Tell Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, he has fulfilled it. V'zehu, that's the meaning of the word lemar. I'm sending you on a mission, Moshe. Tell them that. Lekach hedi si'alecha. That's why I showed you the land. I showed you the land so that you can tell Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov that I've kept my promise. Avol gzeira himilufanai sheshama lo tavor. There's a decree before me that you can't go over there. You know what I think? You know what I think? God is really asking mechila of Moshe. So years ago, Pitcho shel Gehenim, the gate to Gehenim is by Yerushalayim. What does the Medrash mean? The guy over there in America, he understands it. So I saw, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Rav Zev Gold, no relation. He said when God shows Moshe Rabbeinu the land that he wants to go into more than anything else in the world, and he's told you can't go over, you can't go in, that's Gehenna. Show him what he desires and lusts for more than anything else. The one thing he wants more than anything else is to go into Eretz Yisrael. And God tells him, no, I've shown you the land, but you can't go. That's Gehenna. But you know why I did it? Because I want you to tell Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You know what? I'm taking my children there. I'm not leaving them here. I'm going to finish this. Let's go back to the very first page. I'm now going to try and say what is a major shear in 5 minutes flat. You understand? 5 minutes. That's all I have. I have a little more than 5 minutes. I always had difficulty with the second bracha in Shmoneh Esrei. Number two is the second bracha in Shmoneh Esrei. Fact is, I should have started it a sentence further. Ato gibor la'olam Hashem You, God, are the mighty one. Mechaye meitim ata. You bring the dead back to life. Rav lahushia. Your salvation is great. And then the second bracha goes on by saying, Mechalkil chayim b'chesed. He sustains the living with loving kindness. Mechaye meisim. Berachamim rabim. He brings the dead back to life with great mercy. Somech noflim. He supports the fallen. Rofe cholim. He heals the sick. Matir asurim. He lets captives free. Umekayem emunato lishenei afar. And keeps his faith with those who sleep in the dust. You know who the yishenei afar are? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. God keeps his promise. Watch. Watch. I had a problem. There is a problem when you read this bracha. Mechaye meitim is mentioned three. Mechaye meisim. And then further on, Mikomocha bagum melech meimitu mechaye. There was Ato Gibor Olam Hashem. How many times is he Mechaye meitim? And then the bracha again, he brings the dead back to life. So the Rishonim and Achronim have all sorts of, they say that rain is life-giving. Parnasa is life-giving. That can also be called Mechaye meitim. So I want to say something else. Oh, because I have another question. Oh, yeah, this is the bigger question. You bring the dead back to life. They won't be able to walk. You need to support them. Somech noflim. They're going to get up. They're going to be sick. So you have to be rofei cholim. They're going to be imprisoned when you bring them back to life. You have to open up their bonds and free them? What are you talking about over here? That's not the Tchiyat HaMeitim that we were told about. So I say there's another Tchiyat HaMeitim. I'm going to use one example, and that's the most powerful example of them all. The Shoah. Following the Shoah, God sustains the Jewish people. And those who are noflim, someich noflim, he heals the ill. He frees those who've been in bondage. And you know what he does with them? He does for them something that he never did after any other period of tragedy in Jewish history. You know what he does for them? Mekayem emunato. He keeps the faith with Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You know what he does to those survivors? He gives them the greatest gift of all, Eretz Yisrael. That's what the bracha is talking about. Mekayem emunato lisheni afar. That's what God wants Moshe's final act on his behalf is, go tell Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that I gave them, I promised, and I gave it to them. Anybody who doesn't have an appreciation of what we've lived through here in the last 70 years is out of it, lost it. It's been wasted on him. It's a profound tragedy. One can be a Talmud Chacham Godel, and he's useless. If you can say, you belong here, not there, finished. There's nobody home, nobody to talk to. That's why, number one, I hold that it's a mitzvah on the night of the Seder to say, Hinei Yomim Boim Ne'um Hashem, so says God, Lo Yom Arod, we will no longer say the God, we will no longer say only that you are the God who took us out of the land of Egypt, but you're the one who brought us from all four corners of the world to this land. You did something that is a kiddush shem shamayim for a whole world. It's awesome. Go through the streets of any city over here and you will hear more languages than you can hear at the United Nations, because they don't know what the heck they're talking about altogether. But we're talking over here, every language you want. I don't think there's anybody who speaks Amharic in the UN. There's the great mess of Kibbutz Goliot. God promised, and he did it, and we're the beneficiaries, and the night of the Seder, I believe that one must say those two psukim of Yirmiyahu, in addition to, you can add any of the psukim that I quoted here from Yeshayahu, from Yirmiyahu, from Yechezkel, all of them. I think it should be a basic part of the Seder, and once it gets on to Harut Sheva, we'll hear all of the attacks that will come my way. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Chag Kosher V'Sameach. There will not be a shiur next week. There will not be a shiur. I don't think anybody is coming next week. The only one who... Well, listen, first of all, Shira Smiles wasn't even here today. Because she's a yeshiva. Mashgiach, you know, they stop and listen. They don't... I'm not going to be here. I would also suggest you check about the first Tuesday after Yom Tov. I have a major undertaking that I have to finish, and I'm going to work after class today. And I'm going to work. So, I'm not going away anyplace. I'm sitting and writing. Chag Sameach. Yeah, you can say that. You can say that. You'll be fine. That's your drasha for the Seder night. You're right.
We were told by your representative of the government, you're not Coca-Cola. Which is a seaside resort on the south coast of England. It has a Cadassia Hotel. And in all their Siddurim, the page which has the prayer for the State of Israel was torn out. A member of the community sellotaped them back in, and the following Shabbos, they were all torn out again. That's how they are to this day.
They're sick. They are sick.
But